Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Audacy podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Audacy app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back on Inside Black and Gold. Jeff Nowak, Steve Geller. You know, there's not a lot of stuff to talk about this time of year. So yes, it's going to be another segment where we talk primarily about coaching hires, assistant coaching hires, guys leaving, guys staying. One thing that, you know, we didn't mention in the first segment that is definitely a factor here. Mickey Loomis said that the new head coach is going to be able to build his own staff. And that's what, you know, we talk about, okay, are we overreacting? Are we underreacting? I've seen a lot of overreactions of like, I can't believe they let Clint Kubiak get away. I can't believe this and that, you know, and I think that is an overreaction. And this kind of segment is going to be, are we overreacting? Are we underreacting? Where should we be landing? What's reasonable? And when Mickey Loomis says the next head coach is going to be allowed to build his own staff, and we're not going to block lateral interviews for guys when they have a job opportunity and we can't guarantee them a job here. That's what that's all that shows you is they're being honest, because I assure you, they did not want to let Michael Hodges get out of the building. He's an excellent linebacker coach and he's well-respected around the league, but you can't guarantee a job. Even if the new head coach wanted to keep him, you don't know that right now. So he's allowed to interview and he got a good job offer and he went and took it. And so that's true for Clint. That's true for Mike. If people are reacting to that saying, like, I can't believe this happened, that's an overreaction to me, because that's what Mickey said, and that's true. All I can do is listen to what the GM says and say, is he lying to me or not? And, you know, that those hirings say two things. One, these are respected coaches that, you know, deserve jobs. And two, they're putting their money where their mouth is and saying, like, we're not going to force anything on these new head coaches. They're going to get the staff they want.
Yeah. I mean, that's the biggest thing. To me, fans at least look at this and they're like, they're seeing some lateral moves, like for a guy, you know, Hodges, and also with Kubiak, but with whoever is coming in, the new head coach might not want either of these guys on the staff. He might have his own, you know, group of, you know, his gang he's going to want to bring in here. And like you just mentioned, the Saints aren't going to handcuff the new head coach, whoever it is, right off the bat and saying, no, well, we kind of have these dudes in house we want you to work with. So you can't fault anybody for trying to get some job security. I'm not looking as a slight to the Saints, like, oh my God, people are jumping ship.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, I think you have to look out for yourself there. Now, would they have probably preferred to have the option to keep Clint, to keep Mike, if the next head coach said yes? Sure. And but that is a, you know, people will complain, and this is a fair criticism. Like, the Saints take way too long to get these things done. Yes and no, because if you're looking at Kellen Moore and you're like, we want Kellen Moore as our next head coach, and they're flying out to Philadelphia to interview Kellen Moore, then this is the fastest you could do it. So, you know, not being willing to rush the process. Like, if you made this hire 3 weeks ago, then you would have been able to decide from a position of strength, hey, you know, we hired this person and they say, yeah, I like Clint a lot. Then he sticks around. Because you are not willing to rush your process, you kind of have to say, like, well, do what's best for you. And both those guys decided that what's best for them is to leave and take guaranteed jobs. And you know, it is what it is. I just can't bring myself to get upset about it because, you know, if they hire Kellen Moore, you think Kellen Moore is going to keep Clint? No, he's going to fire. Right. So, like, I think Clint understands that.
We'll always have week one and two, Clint Kubiak. I'll miss you.
I think weeks one, I think that's what got him a job. If he didn't have those 2 weeks, it would have been like, man, this is a, like, but so people got kind of paid attention. They're like, okay, things can work. You just got to figure it out. So he's going to be out there. Geno Smith, you know, I think that Geno Smith and Derek Carr have a lot in common, you know,
like that's fair, right?
What they're able to do, where they're at in their careers. You know, you're expected to be a higher level processor at that point in your career. And, you know, I think for, you know, you can say all you want about Derek Carr. Look at any objective metric and he's up high in it. Like he had a good season when he was on the field. So I think that probably helped Clint in that regard too, is can you kind of get a little bit more out of Geno than we were able to last year? So that's where you are.
Yeah. And I think a pretty decent situation for him. I mentioned, I like the weapons that Seattle has. And you saw in Jigba. Oh no, is he still around? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had a nice breakout season for the Seahawks.
No question. No question. Okay. A couple more. Aaron Glenn going to the Jets, not interviewing here.
It hurt.
Freak out, overreaction, underreaction. Where would you land?
I was definitely, like I said, it hurt because he didn't even come in for the interview and you didn't have a chance to you know, even and try and sell him on the Saints. But he's been here, so he kind of knows the inner workings and the operations in the building. And I just feel it's a case where, I don't know, it's going to be hard to outsell the Jets at any cost anyway. He was a guy that played there, has his ties, you know, locked in there as well. And I just feel like their roster situation is a lot better looking than the Saints, even though who knows what's going to happen at quarterback in New York either.
Yeah, I think the quarterback is the big question, but
yeah,
the quarterback is going to be the big question for the Saints too. So it's not like, you know, it's a tangibly worse situation. If you can manage Aaron Rodgers, then it could be a great situation. Because I don't think Aaron is spent. I think Aaron still has some juice left in his arm. And I think, you know, if coach gets fired midseason and it's already a situation where Aaron's tough to manage, you think Olbrich, whatever his name was gonna unlock that scenario? No.
No.
But they do have good wide receivers. They do have Breece Hall. They have talented players, young players. So,
yeah, you know, definitely does Glenn vibe with him? I mean, I don't know. Right. I've heard, obviously, I don't know the man either, but I just hear Rodgers is really freaking difficult. And I don't know if Glenn wants that even for his team chemistry.
Yeah, and he might not be the quarterback, right?
Right.
So it's tough to know. But, you know, so the question is it an overreaction, underreaction to freak out about this situation? It's a little bit of both. You know, like, would I have liked Aaron to come down here and interview? Yes, that would have made things a lot cleaner for the Saints. Do I understand why he didn't? Yeah, sure. Like, if he preferred the Jets and he wanted to get this deal done, you know, I think the delay is he wanted to call the Saints because, you know, he was scheduled to come down here and interview, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's some reporting out there that he wanted Mickey Loomis fired. You know, from my understanding, from what I've heard from people I've talked to, it's not really, you know, the way it's being reported is a little backwards. I think there's some reverse logic going on here in terms of, Aaron Glenn wanted Mickey Loomis fired. I don't think that's necessarily true, like in how that conversation went. But I do think that just like Liam Cohen in Jacksonville, the opportunity to go to a team and be partnered with a new GM where it was more of, hey, we're building this together rather than I am stepping into an absolute system with an existing GM.
Perfect
point. Definitely helped him make that decision, right? And so you can reverse that logic and say, well, he would have wanted Mickey Loomis fired. Aaron likes Mickey Loomis. It's not that, but you can take the leap and say, hey, if the Saints were like, we're going to fire Mickey, will you come? Just like the Jaguars did to Liam, could they have got him? Maybe. Would that have guaranteed they got him? No. Would that have made the Saints look incredibly weak as an organization? Absolutely. So I don't know. I would have been just as critical of them had they done what the Jaguars did. It's like, you know how haphazard it looks to go and get turned down by a coach and then say, you know what, we're going to fire our GM. Are you happy now? Like, I don't like that. I don't think that's how good organizations act. So
No, that's a way better soap opera than what's going on here right now, for sure.
Yeah, like it's definitely more entertaining. But like if you do that and then both the you know, you don't know who the new GM is going to be. The interesting thing is originally it looked like Lance Newmark was going to be the GM for the Jets and they didn't. They hired somebody else. So it is what it is. I just think if he preferred the Jets, like this is
right
a situation that I said all along, like I wouldn't be surprised at all if he picks the Jets. Again, the issue is he didn't come here to interview at all. Would he have if there wasn't the snow? We'll never know.
Right, exactly.
But like at that point, it was like, man, we don't even know when we're going to be able to coordinate this. So, yeah, it's a bummer that he chose the Jets. And I think it does tell you, like, again, you know, we were ranking the head coaching jobs. And I said, it's very possible this is the least attractive job. And what that tells you is the Jets are higher on that list. Now I will say, like, if he had chosen the Jags, I would feel worse about it. He went to a team that he played for 8 years. He was a first round pick there in 1994. Got a right. lot of connections in that building. Even when he left the Jets, he didn't leave intentionally. He was an expansion draft pick of the Texans. Like, so it wasn't even like he got traded away or cut. Like, he just was like, all right, I guess I'm going to Houston now. So like, even if you were like if the Saints traded away Marshawn Lattimore, right? Like, there's going to be animosity there. You can't even say like, well, they traded me away. I don't even like him anymore. So I think that is somewhat of an overreaction, not a huge one, but I don't think that that's the news of this offseason that's like, oh my gosh, the Saints are a joke.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think too, because a lot of folks considered Glenn the top option, and it's like, oh, the Saints couldn't even get their number one choice. You know, everything's in shambles.
Yeah, and I do wonder if the Jets weren't on the table, if he would have come to the Saints.
Yeah.
I don't know. But we'll never know. And they were on the table, so it's a non-question. He's the head coach of the Jets. Next topic. Joe Brady saying, nah, I'm good. Overreaction, underreaction. Where do you land?
I definitely wasn't surprised, but I guess I understand why folks are upset. The fact he wouldn't even come and even speak, considering one of 32 jobs in the NFL. But he... The Saints situation doesn't have that top pick right now, or that stud, you know, top quarterback in the draft that you can get, or one that's on the roster. So I kind of understand, like I do with Cliff Kingsbury, if you want to stick around with the QB you have around right now.
Yeah, I mean, you're in a great situation right here in Buffalo. And that's why, like, I don't know, what was it, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago when we did a podcast and we were talking about this? It was like, yeah, I mean, to me, Joe Brady's on the Ben Johnson track from last year, where it was I don't think this is the right call. And realistically, Ben Johnson should have gone to the Commanders. He turned him down. Dan Quinn was the last head coach hired in that cycle, and it worked out pretty well for Washington, didn't it? So not getting your first choice isn't always a terrible thing. All that said, it is not an overreaction to be upset and kind of freaked out that a guy who used to work here wasn't even willing to take the interview, because that just says, like, you know, and like, that's what I've kind of come to understand from conversations is like, okay, he wasn't going to take this job. Like, he wasn't really that interested in this job. And they knew that a while ago. Like, I don't think anyone within the Saints building really thought Joe Brady was going to be the next head coach based on all that information, but that doesn't make the optics of it any better. That doesn't make the situation any better, because that just means that you couldn't sell a guy on this job. And maybe that's part of it. Maybe he's like, if I go down there, they're going to sell me on and I'm going to have a really hard time saying no to my first head coaching job. If I get wined and dined and wooed and whatever, it's going to be hard. And maybe it's better off to not do that at all.
Or maybe because he's a dude that has been around the building and he knows what goes on here. He's like, I don't want to be a part of this situation.
Your first head coaching job, I think the smart thing to do is to be really particular about the situation you end up in. And whether it's about the leadership in the building or the situation, I don't think anyone should look at this job and be like, yeah, that is a dream scenario for a first-time head coach. Just like Washington wasn't a dream scenario for Ben Johnson last year. Just like Bobby Slowick went back to Houston. But that's why the only reason it really surprised me a little bit that he wasn't able
Bobby
to...
Bobby
Slowick got canned. Bobby Slowick, the guy everyone was like, oh, we want this guy. He's turning down jobs last year to stay with the Texans. They fired him. And part of that, I imagine, was due to CJ Stroud taking a step back in year two, and the numbers are not great for CJ when you look at him. Like double two fewer games started, double the interceptions, 70 or 57 something like less yards per game, 14 more sacks taken this year. Like he took a serious step back. Even you know they made the playoffs, they won a playoff game.
And he had a better running game this year.
Yeah, and he got fired. So you know it doesn't always work out for the best. But Joe Brady, it always kind of made sense to me for him to stay in Buffalo. Again, though, the fact that he was not willing to come down here and just take an interview, like I think as a head coach, like Ben Johnson went to Washington, he took the interviews, right? And as a head coach, as a aspiring head coach, I feel like there's value in just getting an interview done so you know what the process is like. And so to me, the optics of that alone say he was so not interested in this job that he wasn't even willing to do that. And like I said in the first segment, as a coach, you don't want to create the narrative that teams are interviewing you and turning you down and saying, I'm good, because then you go for another interview and they're like, well, what did you do wrong last time that we don't know about? And so I think there's part of that. He didn't want to be the guy getting turned down. But it just kind of shows you like, yeah, the Saints were the least attractive head coaching opening in this cycle. And Mickey Loomis's sales pitch of we're one of 32 jobs didn't go very far in that regard.
We'll just change the whole narrative. He worked with the Saints. He worked with LSU. It's got to be he just hates Louisiana now.
Maybe that's it. Maybe he didn't want to come back to the humidity. I mean, I think part of what I talked about when we first brought this up in terms of staying in Buffalo is, I don't know, we've got a pretty strong firsthand look at Matt Rhule and how things went for him in a situation that was not optimal in his first NFL head coaching stint. And like he watched that happen. He watched that unravel and he was the initial scapegoat. They fired him like, oh, you're the issue. You're the problem, right? He knows how that situation goes. So I don't blame him one bit for wanting to stay in Buffalo. Either way, like I don't blame Saints fans for freaking out about that one. The Aaron Glenn one, I was like, yeah, okay, let's. But when you put those together, it starts to paint a really ugly picture.
Right.
All that said, the idea like no one's going to take this job. Like if you offered the job to Mike Kafka, he'd take it yesterday. Anthony Weaver would take this job. Darren Rizzi would be ecstatic to have this job. Right. Now, you know, not getting your first option. You don't like that. But Dan Quinn wasn't the Commander's first option. So it's not about, okay, being the dream job. It's about getting the right coach at the right time. And you know, this idea that everyone's going to be like, I'm good. Like that's overstating it.
Yeah, it's, I get it. Nobody, I guess, wants to be the last team right now standing with no, there's no leader. There's no foreseeable glimpse of that light at the end of the tunnel right now.
Yeah.
The Senior Bowl's next week. This week, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Mike Kafka's there. He's one of the head coaches. Okay, here's one that I know people are overreacting on. It's Dave Ziegler getting hired by the Titans.
Oh my lord,
y'all! Man. You didn't even know who Dave Ziegler was,
right?
but like, people are freaking out. Like, people are quote tweeting my tweet of like, these are the five people that are going to be involved. They're like, oh my god, he's gone! Everyone's fleeing the building. Like, got a promotion. He got like a significant promotion. He went from being a personnel advisor for the Saints to being an assistant GM for a team that has a number one overall pick.
Yeah, he was just a consultant. He was giving some advice. Relax, everyone.
Like, why are we mad about that? Good for him. Like, we can just say like, hey, that's a promotion. Good for you, right? It's like when Zach Spief went to be the offensive line coach for Sean Payton. It was like, I understand. I get it.
Glenn got hired by the Jets. What happened was Ziegler throws his papers down and goes, I'm out of here.
It's just a funny thing. Like, I don't know. Like if he had just been like, I quit. Sure. Like we're acting like him going to take like a legitimate job with the Titans front office, a team that has the number one overall pick, is a crazy thing. Like, oh, this is a sign of dysfunction. And like, yeah, there's dysfunction. I'm not going to sit here and tell you there's no dysfunction in that front office. That's not the sign. That's just a guy taking a job.
Yes. The Saints, you know, they had their Saints fans had their targets and bang, the Dennis Allen one went down, but you still got Carr and Loomis around that. They're getting a fire constantly.
Yeah. And hey, you know, I get it. I get it. I'm not telling you you're crazy, but I think that's an overreaction. That's why I'm not. And I've been saying like you're completely off base. I'm just saying maybe overreacting a little bit in these situations. One more, the Saints flying out to interview Kellen Moore. I've seen a lot of people go a little crazy on, like, this means he's the head coach. I mean, I think they're very interested in Kellen Moore. You wouldn't fly out to interview a guy if you weren't very interested in Kellen Moore. But I think this is a lot more about not wanting to be shot down by another head coaching candidate because you waited until the end of the week, which, who knows, like, the schedule that you'd have to deal with if you waited for him to get to New Orleans would be a lot more complicated. And I think they just wanted to make sure they had something on the schedule prior to that game so that you're not getting this situation again like you got with Joe, where it's like, it looks like, hey, he just had no interest ever, and it's because of your situation. Now, after having interviewed him, you can be at least in the driver's seat of deciding or not deciding. I think that's really what it's about. And the only way to make sure that was the case was to go out there and do it in Philadelphia, because I don't know, he's busy. Like, this is not a week where he wants to fly down to New Orleans, fly back to Philadelphia or wherever he stays, and then do it all again for the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. So I think that's an overreaction on the positive end of, like, this means he's Kellen Moore is the next head coach. He very well could be the next head coach. I just don't think that flying out there is the sign that's like, oh, this is for sure.
No, like you said, it's like they're going to have to go to him because he's kind of doing his other gig right now, getting ready for the biggest game of the year. It's kind of funny that, like you said, it would be having to fly here, fly back, and then fly back here again, kind of thing for him. But obviously, Moore has huge interest for the team, or they wouldn't be going out. It's not a situation, I think, where it's still a feeling out process. They know he's at least interested in taking the job. It's not like, you know, a Joe Brady situation going, I'm good. I think he would have told them, no, I'm focused on Philly right now, and I have no interest in becoming the Saints head coach.
We'll see. I mean, I wouldn't be stunned if he doesn't have interest, but he's willing to take the interview. Just like I said, like, getting a head coaching interview is valuable experience for the next head coaching interview. You don't want to be turned down. And we'll see. I think the Saints just wanted to make sure they got this interview on record. And I'm not sold on I think Kellen has done an excellent job with the Eagles offense this year, but does he get a ton of credit for Saquon Barkley being Saquon Barkley? Like, I mean, like, how much different is this offense than it would have been if the Eagles had Saquon Barkley last year? Because
Kellen's not bringing that O-line or Saquon with him.
Right. Like, a lot of the Eagles' success this year is predicated around Saquon Barkley is a superstar among superstars. He is a Hall of Fame running back. He is the best running back that's been in the NFL for quite some time. And I understand Derrick Henry is that guy.
Yeah.
But if Derrick Henry had been on elite offenses, like, if you took Derrick Henry off of the Titans, where he was the offense, and put him onto an elite offense that already existed prior to him getting there, he would have been right up there. Now, that's what happened for Saquon. Like, and we're talking about Saquon's old. Derrick Henry's in his 30s. Right? Like, Saquon is 27 and he's in his prime, his absolute prime. And you added him to that offense. And yes, this offense is great, but they went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. They should have been a lot better last year, and everything kind of fell off the track at the end of the season, but they were a really good team. Like, Saquon Barkley showed up, and now it's like AJ Brown's reading books on the sideline. Like, he is the reason that offense has emerged as an explosive run game. And Kellen gets a lot of credit. But does that make you a head coach? I don't know. And I think you're kind of riding that wave of popularity right now. And maybe that's like, was anyone talking about Kellen Moore as a head coach before this season?
Right.
Not really.
And it's a little odd. We talked about early on about, wow, the Cowboys didn't even reach out to Kellen Moore, really?
Yeah, like, that seems telling too, right? Like, that the Cowboys weren't even willing. Man, maybe they did. Maybe he said, I don't want to go back because I hate Jerry Jones.
Could be. Maybe that's I don't know.
I don't know. But I think everyone's on the Kellen Moore bandwagon right now. And I think it's a little recency bias based. Just like everyone fell off the Aaron Glenn bandwagon because of how that playoff game went. And I disagreed with that. All that said, Kellen Moore may be a great head coach. I don't know. I'm not in that interview. I'm just saying, like, the idea that, oh, it's guaranteed now, they're flying out to interview him. I think his interview is going to be important. I think what happens in that interview is going to be important. We'll see. But I think that's the last thing I have.
Maybe we'll get our, if he comes head coach, we'll get our own version of the tush push.
Maybe. Yeah.
I can't
see. We'll be interested to see whatever happens.
After Derek Carr got hurt, you know, doing that weird, awkward leap, please don't have Derek Carr ever leaping again.
He didn't get hurt doing that.
Yeah, that's when he came down on his wrist.
Derek?
Yeah, just on, not on a sneak, but when he ran and had that awkward leap.
I thought you were talking about against the Falcons, because remember they tried to do the breeze leap, but then his legs
got right, right, right.
It was the most pathetic looking version of the breeze leap you've ever encountered.
No, the play he did get hurt on. I just don't want to see Derek jumping like that, throwing his body.
I don't know. I want to see more. I want to see more defenses leaping over the line the way the Commanders did.
Frankie Louvu.
Making everyone aware of the fact that the refs can actually just give the other team a touchdown if you're a big enough jerk about it.
You're going to call this again if you keep doing that.
If you keep up this behavior.
Right. We will put you on the sideline right now, mister.
Well, it was funny because it's like all I had to say was like the Commanders have been warned, but he's like scolded them like children. If you keep up this behavior, young man. And I do appreciate that everyone's aware of like, no, that's a rule. Like they can do that. If it's like, I've done that to people in Madden before when I'm kind of griefing and it's like, no, I'm just going to keep running off sides. You're not going to kick this extra point. I'm going to tackle your kicker. You're not allowed to do that in real life. And I don't even think the Commanders were trying to do that. It's just impossible to stop that play. So they're just trying to get that advantage. And the Eagles are running hard counts. Like, come on, just run, snap the damn ball. Either you get it or you don't. It's first down. What are you doing? Anyway. And they did stop it. I think that's what was going on. Is they actually were getting off the snap, and they stopped it on that 2-point conversion. It was funny because Marshawn Lattimore actually saved the Commanders a point by fighting with AJ Brown after a touchdown, and then they went for two and didn't get it. Anyway, but Marshawn. I mean, hey, that trade looks better and better by the day.
Yeah, he got cooked yesterday for sure.
It won't when he's all pro next year and he's actually healthy. Like then we'll turn back around and be like, what a terrible trade. But right now.
He wasn't on the field here anyway, so yeah, I'm glad they got something in return. It was a pretty decent value for sure.
No, and I'm looking forward to that extra third round pick, I'll tell you that.
Yep.
Not looking forward to it on draft night, because it's going to make draft night kind of crazy on that second day, but hey, it'll be nice to have some draft picks. Either way, let's wrap up that segment. Speaking of draft picks, I'm Jeff Nowak, he is Steve Geller, this is Inside Black and Gold, getting you ready for the Super Bowl, the Senior Bowl, and every bowl in between, which there actually aren't any, but you get the idea. Either way, this next segment, we're going to be talking about Senior Bowl, who I'm looking at. Mike D'Antilier has some great preview content up on WWE.com, so I'm going to talk about that. And we're going to do it. Who dat? Go Saints. We'll be right back.